The point of clarification, and maybe it was an honest error on Brother Reese's part, we never have defined, put away in this debate, as spatial separation. That is not the way that we defined it from the beginning of our debate. We have defined, put away, as the dissolution of a marriage. I want to pull back up that two-color chart between Matthew 19:9 and my proposition, which we said we paralleled these two and said that they were, for all basic intents and purposes, identical. What Brother Reeves is failing to realize, the point that we were making here on this chart is, he says that there is no sequence involved in these verses. And we simply beg to differ by saying that, how could a man could not put away his wife for fornication if she had not yet committed fornication. Do you see there must be order there? A man couldn't put away his wife for fornication if she hadn't already committed the fornication. So there is order involved. And what about the put away woman? She could not be remarried if she had not been first divorced. Do you see here? There's clearly sequence in these verses, and that's what he's trying to deny, but it's not deniable from this text. Next, Brother Reeves keeps bringing up that Jesus doesn't address the scenario. Jesus doesn't address this scenario. Well, concerning the woman, we said that Matthew 19 and verse 9 addresses both possible scenarios. The scenario of when a woman was guilty of fornication, and the scenario of when a woman was not guilty of fornication. And we asked the question, what other scenario could there be? That was the question that we asked. But for the sake of argument, what if there was another scenario? What if there was another scenario that's not mentioned here in the text? Well, what would we do since the Bible doesn't address it? What would we do? How would we know anything about it since it's not in the Scriptures? Where would we get our authority to act? If there's a scenario that's not in the text, which Brother Reeves keeps reaching for, then what is that scenario? How could we get any authority in regards to that scenario if it's not mentioned in the text? Brother Reeves keeps leaning toward and saying that he's stressing the cause and that's all that matters. This is really very popular. Some are saying that biblical putting away is a matter of motive and not method. Maybe you've heard that. In other words, they are saying that there are many that are saying that as long as fornication has occurred, the method, the order, the procedure, the actions taken, none of that matters, they say. More and more we're hearing this said. And people are saying that the so-called innocent party in a divorce can remarry. Well, Jesus said that biblical putting away involved both motive and method. And to prove that, I want to look again at Matthew 19 and verse 9. We've been spending a lot of time there this evening. It says, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." Do you see it? Jesus mentioned the only rightful cause for a divorce is fornication. So we agree. Jesus definitely stresses the right cause for fornication. But look, he also requires action. The innocent spouse must be the one who takes the action to put away their guilty spouse. Biblical putting away involves both motive and method. Do you see it there? It's pretty clear, isn't it? I want to ask Brother Reeves, if he will, when he comes back, if he'll pull this chart up again, if he would be so kind. I feel that he has missed our point that we were trying to make on this slide. Brother Reese says that this woman was put away for fornication, and that's why she could not remarry. This woman, in our example, in our illustration, had not committed fornication. So if you will, Brother Reese, when you come back, if you would clarify that and explain to us why you disagree with this third way that seems to be the end result of the doctrine that you are teaching. Next. Brother Reeves made a comment. Where does it say that he had not already been put away for fornication in regards to this man? And ask if we would take the green marker back out if the man had already committed fornication earlier. Well, that's not what we're debating. Right, here's what we're debating. We're debating this woman who was put away not for fornication. That's what this debate's about. And I think that's where we'll spend most of our time, and that's where we need to concentrate in the limited number of minutes that we have left in our discussion. On the next slide, I want to thank Brother Reeves for letting me correct this chart. This chart was made in haste this afternoon, and he did point out an error, and I do thank him for that. John 3:16 was not the right example to use to parallel the plan of salvation and marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We have since changed this chart since you bringing that to our point, and again, I thank you. And we've used Mark 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We simply ask the question, is that all that's involved in salvation, belief and baptism? Is that all that it takes? Well, the point is no. It takes more, doesn't it? Repentance, confession, there are other things involved in the plan of salvation. So we say that that is not absolute. But we say that, again, the last part of Mark 16 and verse 16 is absolute because there are no other qualifiers. We simply then tried to make the parallel to the situation of marriage, divorce, and remarriage from Luke 16, 18a, and 18b, in which Brother Reeves is trying to make the argument that the whosoever he disagrees with us saying that this whosoever is not absolute. This is not absolute because there are other qualifiers. We know that there are other qualifiers of fornication mentioned in Matthew 19:9, for example. Luke 16:18b, we have said, is absolute. That is where Brother Reeves has had contention. He says he disagrees with this. But we say this is absolute. And the reason that we made this point and made this argument was because we said there are no other qualifiers concerning a put-away woman marrying another man while her bound mate is living. That's why we said that's absolute. If Brother Reeves disagrees that this statement is absolute, then we would please ask that he shows us a scripture where this is not the case. Show us a qualifier, show us a modifier, show us another text which modifies this statement, because we know all scriptures must be harmonized with one another. So show us another text that we can harmonize with this and we'll change our argumentation. But until then, this, we believe, is an absolute statement. Just going to make a quick few points. We've looked at this each night, and I don't want to belabor a point. But the reason that we've kept bringing this up is because Brother Reeves has said that God doesn't recognize or approve the actions of an ungodly spouse. We have not misquoted Brother Reeves. We have not said this is Brother Reeves' quotes. We said that this is what he wants. That's what the end result is. That's what he wants. He wants to say that an ungodly person, the acts of an ungodly spouse, God doesn't recognize. And clearly he does. But what Brother Reeves has not addressed is the conclusion. Either way, what have we said the conclusion is? Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. It has been suggested that if a person is innocent of fornication, it is not really even possible to put such a person away. This is not so, as we intend to show by looking again at several verses that we've already read in the last two evenings. First, let's look at Luke 16 and verse 18. Let me read it to you again. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband, committeth adultery. Note, in this situation, the original wife was innocent of fornication. The original wife was innocent of fornication. How do we know that? We know that because the husband commits adultery when he remarries. You see that? But yet, what did Jesus say? Jesus said that she was put away. She was innocent of fornication, but Jesus said that she was put away. And what else? What else did Jesus say? He said, whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Do you see that? It's just that clear. It is just that plain. It is possible to put away an innocent spouse. Again, we can prove the same point from Matthew 19 and verse 9, which says, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Note that we have grayed out the exception clause here, because what we're interested in talking about is the case of an innocent put away woman. Note again in this situation that the original wife was innocent of fornication. We know this because her husband commits adultery when he remarries. And here again, Jesus said that she was a put-away person. And again, he said, whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. It is possible to put away an innocent spouse. Matthew 5:32 is another verse again in which we can use to prove that it is possible to put away an innocent spouse. For sake of time, we won't belabor that point any further. Another important verse in the discussion of divorce and remarriage is Matthew 5:32, and we haven't spent as much time in that with that text, but let's read it here. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Note that we have grayed out the exception clause again, because we want to look at the situation where the wife is innocent, an innocent wife is put away, because that's what we're discussing in this debate. This verse describes an action against an innocent person. We know this because her husband, again, because her husband causeth her to commit adultery. She was not guilty before this occurred. Brother Rees would agree at this point that she cannot marry another without committing adultery. Just as a side note, we would ask, is this unfair? Is this unjust? Is this too hard? You see, Brother Rees also teaches some things that result in difficult circumstances and consequences for innocent people. But what if her husband then married before she did? What if he married before she did? Brother Rees would say that her status has magically changed. He would say that then she could repudiate him and remarry again without sin. In effect, Brother Rees would have this verse read this way. Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. But all of this changes if her husband marries before she does. In that case, she could repudiate him and marry again without sin. We'd simply ask, is this speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent? I think you all know the answer to that question. Brother Rees also said last evening that Mark chapter 10 verse 11 gives us trouble. And that simply is not the case. Let's look again at the arguments that we made from Mark chapter 10. We originally stated that Brother Rees' arguments from Mark chapter 10 verse 11 would lead one to believe that there is something different taught here than in the other passages that teach on divorce and remarriage. We disagree. In fact, Mark chapter 10, verse 11, harmonizes completely with the other passages, which of course is what we would expect, because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. We're going to compare in this chart Mark chapter 10, verse 11, and Luke 16, verse 18. Each of the first three phrases are effectively identical. Let's read them. Whosoever shall put away his wife, whosoever putteth away his wife. Again, and marrieth another. And the third phrase, committeth adultery against her. Luke 16 says, committeth adultery. Well, I want to look at the last phrase. We all agree that these are identical. I think we'd all have to agree. I want to look at the last phrase in Luke 16 and verse 18. This is the phrase that addresses the remarriage of the put-away wife. It is specifically forbidden in Luke chapter 16 and verse 18. But you see that Mark 10 and verse 11, that her status is not addressed. The woman's status is addressed in Luke 16, but it's not over here in Mark chapter 10. Do you see that? So you see that Mark chapter 10 and verse 11 fully harmonizes, as we said before, with Luke 16 and verse 18. It just so happens that Luke 16, 18 gives some more additional information. And that is the information that not we, but Brother Reeves is having a lot of trouble with, because that additional information in Luke 16 and verse 18 specifically forbids the put-away wife to remarry. These two verses harmonize. We have no trouble with either one of these verses. We have no trouble with the additional information which is added about the put-away woman, which specifically forbids her to remarry. Again, Mark chapter 10 harmonizes with other passages. We want to look real quickly at Matthew 19 and verse 9. Whosoever shall put away his wife. Matthew 19:9 says, whosoever shall put away his wife. We'll gray out the exception clause because we're talking about an innocent woman. And shall marry another. Matthew 19:9 says, and shall marry another. Committeth adultery against her. Matthew 19:9 says, committeth adultery. Each of these first phrases, I think we all will agree, are effectively identical. But it is the fourth phrase in Matthew 19:9 that addresses the remarriage of a put-away wife. It is specifically forbidden in Matthew 19:9. But you see in Mark chapter 10 that her status is not addressed. So Mark 10 and Matthew 19 fully harmonize with one another. It is just that Matthew 19 gives some additional information. And it is, again, that additional information that we feel challenges the argumentation that Brother Reeves has been making. Over the last two evenings, we have listened to Brother Reeves explain his position. And it has become very clear that he is stressing one thing while ignoring another. Brother Reeves' position stresses one aspect of the divorce and remarriage subject. Namely, he emphasizes that there is the right to put away your spouse if he or she has committed fornication. That's what Brother Reeves has emphasized in this debate. The right to put away your spouse for fornication. We agree with him in this regard. We agree with him on this point. But Brother Reeves has a problem. In stressing that one thing, he is ignoring completely another aspect of the divorce and remarriage subject. He is not dealing with the fact that there are subsequent divinely imposed consequences for a person who has been put away. Jesus said three times, as we have pointed out, that whoever marries the put away person commits adultery. Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19:9, and Luke 16:18. As always, on any Bible subject, we must take all of the available information or teaching in order to reach the proper conclusion. In this case, Brother Reeves must accept the total information about the put-away person. Such a one cannot remarry without committing adultery. We need for Brother Reeves to explain for us the difference between the two different divorce scenarios that we have discussed. In a divorce that is for fornication, we all agree there is some point in time in which the guilty fornicator becomes a put-away person and, as such, cannot remarry without committing adultery. We agree at that point. The marriage is dissolved, the relationship is ended, and there is nothing left to put asunder. Now then, in a divorce that happens but not for fornication, why does the very same exact action, why doesn't it have the same results? Namely, the innocent mate, although not guilty of any sexual immorality, becomes a put-away person, and as such cannot remarry without committing adultery. Do you see it? And at that point in time, the relationship is ended. The marriage is dissolved. There is nothing left to put asunder. We would simply ask the question, what's the difference between these two scenarios? Reading into the text, we have been repeatedly showing that in order to reach the conclusion that Brother Reeves desires, he has been forced to read things into the inspired text that are simply not there. And I'll read this quickly. I want to refer back to Matthew 5:32 again. But I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. We've grayed out the exception clause because we're talking about the innocent put away wife. Notice what Brother Reeves has to read into this text to reach the conclusions that he wants. He has to read into this that the woman is not really put away in the eyes of God. Do you see that? He has to read that in to reach his conclusion. But the text, written by God, says that she is put away. And then, after the putting away, if her husband committeth a fornication, Brother Reeves wants to read into this that she could engage in a subsequent repudiation or a second putting away. But that's not in the text. In fact, that's not here. It's not anywhere or anywhere else in the New Testament. It's just not in there. He also wants to read in that she would not commit adultery if she remarried. Again, that's not in the text. In fact, the text says just the opposite. So do you see what he's having to do? Do you see how he's having to change the Scriptures and read into the Scriptures in order to prove his position? I want you to think about that during the next speech. Thank you.